Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collectors.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What did he chant?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands, because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa, hunger in the United States, and not having spare hands. I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. But she was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if a favorite toy just happened to be half-naked muscular men? Everybody, this is the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. We're here. We're gonna talk about the biggest thing that's going on right now. There's a lot going on in the world, and there's one thing that is going on that is, it's above everything else right now. It's on everybody's mind. It's on everybody's Facebook feeds. You can't turn the TV on without seeing it. And a lot of people, you know, they've been waiting, you know, for us to discuss it in a serious manner. So, of course, what I'm talking about is Netflix's Tiger King. Tiger King is a new, for those of you who don't know, it's a documentary. I question whether it's a real documentary or not, but we'll get to that. It's a documentary you can find on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, get Netflix, because you should see this, because I think it's changed my life. And I'm not sure if it's changed it in a good way. I'm pretty sure it hasn't. But we have to discuss this. So we've brought, obviously, the best two co-hosts a host could have, Travis Bowles and Pete McCarthy, are here. How you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Also, we have Vernetta Irby here to discuss what she thinks of this show. How you doing, Vernetta?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I can't wait to get into this thing. First off, my first question is, did you guys know about this before it hit? Did anyone know that this was coming?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
No,
there
was no advertising that I knew of, no hype about this thing. It just popped up one time.
And is that a fishing pole, Vernetta?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was like, what the hell? A fishing pole?
Jerry and fishes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was important to get out of the way when I was in the middle of a sentence, Pete. Great broadcasting there.
Hey, Vernetta, you got anything over there that's fisherman related for Steve's butt hurt? No? Okay.
I don't.
So,
I'm going to get him one of those ice cube dildo trays so he can always have a nice, refreshing ice dildo to slide in his butt hurt from now on.
Hey, Travis, are those boxes behind you? Holy shit.
Yeah. Boxes of toys behind Travis in his toy room.
Hey, see that,
what's surprising?
Looks like a Tupperware thing container.
A Tupperware, huh?
What? What do you use that for, Travis?
So did Rubbermaid buy Tupperware, or did they buy Rubbermaid? How did it go? How'd that merger happen?
Wait, what did I miss? Like, did something happen before this phone call?
It's a Tupperware. He's got a Tupperware container behind him there.
It's an ongoing problem on the podcast that I haven't figured out how to get rid of.
You have figured out how to get rid of it. Yeah. You started Potu.
I got an idea. You cover them in sardine oil.
Absolutely. So, Pete, when did you know that this was a thing that you had to see? What was it that tipped you off?
Well, what's super funny is somebody had posted the picture of Joe Exotic and his two husbands lying shirtless. I saw that as a meme, and I just thought somebody photoshopped. They're like, hey, I found three white trash dudes, and I photoshopped them together. And I didn't realize that was even a thing. And then I just kind of saw little stuff on here and there, and I'm like, and I got on Netflix to watch something else, and there it was, and I was like, holy shit, that's a real thing.
Vernetta, go ahead.
Do any of you guys remember? Did you hear about the story on the news?
No, I don't.
Because I don't remember hearing any of that. Okay.
But we live somewhere, you know, out of that area, out of the region. So it probably was big news in Oklahoma, really big news in Florida,
right.
But it probably just didn't reach here. Mm-hmm. And I saw a few people posting that they were watching it and just like giving like little updates and little tidbits about it. And I was just kind of curious. And then I saw the memes, which like Pete didn't think that they were real. And then Travis was like, you got to watch this. So I turned it on, and I swear to God, I think I need to take a bath after every fucking episode.
Yeah, and then we'll do one of your interviews while you're in the bath, because that's totally another thing to do.
That's what you do.
I'm gonna admit that somebody paid me to murder somebody. I'm gonna jump in his tub and I'm gonna talk about it. Let's do that.
Who was the cameraman that was cool with that? Who was like, oh yeah, you want to do it in the bathtub? Fuck yeah, I'll go on that with you.
That filmmaker was pretty damn brave. I'll give him that. So
I thought that the cameraman on Maury had to be paid a lot to chase these bitches down. This motherfucker interviewed somebody in the tub. I don't know why Joe's husband didn't have a fucking shirt on the whole time.
if you guys watch, what's really great is he never had a shirt on. And then he shows a clip until he's laying in bed under the covers and he's got his shirt on.
Yep. And when he got his tattoo, he had his shirt pulled up. No, wait, he didn't have a shirt on. It was two times he had a shirt on. He went to court.
Yeah.
He went to court. Yeah.
And that tattoo he got didn't even cover the words.
No. I noticed that.
My other thing was that as a cameraman, how do you go into that fucking filth? In those trailers, there was a rat in the dresser. The bed wall tore up. The dressers were nasty. It was fucking filthy. How much are you paying me to fucking go in these places and talk to these people?
I felt like I was in the Wesco trailer park, Renetta. running medicals, because that's what it's like in there.
Okay, for anyone that hasn't watched the documentary, which we're telling you, you got to go watch it before you listen to this, but Renetta, can you give us an explanation of what the documentary is about?
I don't think they know. How the fuck am I supposed to explain that bullshit? It's some gang rival tiger shit that's going on? I have no idea.
But that's what's funny is that you
don't know what it was about. Once it got done, I have no fucking clue other than some people that was all doing the same thing that was mad at the other person for fucking doing it. And then that lady husband disappeared, and that I'm pretty sure Joe set them crocodiles on fire. I don't understand the polyamorous angle of it.
This was all an accident.
Huh?
Was all an accident.
Which part was?
This entire documentary was an accident. This guy set out to document some people that had big cats because there was a big controversy going on, and he stumbled across all of these mutants, and he says in the very first episode, if I would have had any idea this would have taken up 5 years of my life, He stumbled across all of this shit not knowing how weird big cat people are. And that's amazing to me, if in fact it's all real, which I think it is. It'd be hard to fake a lot of that shit, you know? In my
opinion. What had me confused is what was real time, and like I was like, I don't know what year this is that they're filming in, because he had been following them and what is going on. And then all of a sudden you get to like the last couple episodes, like everybody just fucking turned on each other and just was telling on everybody. Like in the beginning everybody was cool, and then everybody just kind of like turned on each other and was snitching on everybody. And I was so confused. Where the fuck is Carol at now? Is her husband still living now?
I think so.
As far as we know.
I think the Carol, one she has, yeah.
Carol is the smartest one on the show. She's
because she wasn't paying her associates?
She's batshit crazy still, but I think she's the smartest one. She is doing all but the fact that she doesn't breed tigers is the only difference between her and everybody else.
Not true.
Let me finish. And she actually, I think
when you say the only thing and then you say the one thing, that's the end. Because you said the only thing. You said the only difference.
All right Pete, take it
is
away.
She doesn't breed them.
Go ahead, Pete. Take it away.
I'm just saying there can't be more. If you say only one thing and then once you say the one thing.
Go ahead, take it away.
Take what away?
Whatever you were.
You said
say.
You wanted. You said you wanted to finish. Give me all the other onlys.
You said I couldn't.
Give me all the other onlys. Give me your whole list of onlys.
Take it away. It's your show.
Didn't breed. Didn't cub pet, and nobody touched any of the cats there. You were not allowed any physical contact with any of the cats. Those were the differences. So not only there was three.
Also,
I don't know why.
She's a woman and he's a man. How far do you want to go?
She didn't pay her associates either. Her people were volunteers, and everybody else was at least getting like $100 stipend every week.
And they got to live in a trailer.
And some old Walmart meat and stuff like that. But she wasn't even paying her associates.
No.
The point I was trying to make was that I think she is guilty of almost everything that they were, except at some point she was smart enough to understand that PETA and all these animal rights activists were going to get on her ass. So she flipped the script, stopped selling, stopped trading, stopped petting, stopped doing all the things that Pete so wonderfully just laid out for us. And so she got on the side of the animal rights activists, which is why she could survive and the other ones were drowning. We're getting such
heat. You are 100% correct. She somehow managed to do the majority of what everybody else was doing, which was charging admission to see what she had, only she had millions of people saying that she was a saint and the mother of saving all the cats. You are 100% correct. She figured out how to be crooked and get everybody on her side. She should run for politics.
She's as big of a piece of shit as she just is a little bit smarter. Not so much at covering up killing her husband, but as far as marketing her business, I think she was smarter.
Didn't have to breed her cats because she would get other places shut down and take the animals from them. She did not have to breed.
Yeah, and probably wasn't.
She was given cats. Right.
Well, she didn't have to do the cub petting portion because she convinced all the people that supported her that it was wrong.
Yep.
So she didn't have to have cubs to pet because she made everybody think that that was a terrible thing to do. I don't know about you. I wanted to pet some of them damn tigers. I would have paid money to cuddle a tiger. I would have paid money to pet a tiger. I don't know about you guys, but I totally would do that. Could you imagine Katie and Claire? You take Courtney and Katie and Claire to this place. Every one of them girls would have wanted to lay down on the hodgepodge of blankets because that's what Joe Exotic would do. He'd lay down everybody's bedspreads on the grass. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. All the different like picnic, and they'd all lay there and they'd all pet the tiger and they'd pay big money to do it. I'm like, you realize Joe Exotic was banging two straight men on those blankets. Now you're petting a tiger on it, right? long as we're all on the same page here. But honestly, I think she's the only one out of all of the characters. I think she's the only one that I know with 100% certainty has actually killed somebody. And she was just trying to make out, they made her out to be like this hero. But she did. She killed her husband. And she fed that motherfucker to the tigers. You know what I kept thinking about the whole time I saw her? I'm like, that's Betty White in Lake Placid.
Yes!
That's
yes!
Betty White. And I kept waiting for her to go, well, this is where if I had a dick, I'd tell you to suck it. So.
I just love when they were talking to her about Joe almost getting killed by the tiger because he said there was perfume on his shoes. And she's like, you wouldn't use perfume. You'd use sardine oil and you'd cover him in it.
Yeah, cologne would never work. God. So you mean to tell me this woman got into a fight with her husband, 20 years old. She goes for a walk. A dude that's married, that's 22 years older than her, stops on the side of the road, says, hey, baby, get in. No, thank you. He circles the block. He rolls up. He says, hey, baby, get in. She says, no, thank you. He rolls up a third time, says, hey, baby, get in. She says, no, thank you. Hey, I've got this gun right here on my bench seat. Why don't you pick up the gun and you can point it at me while we drive around? Okay, I'm in. Jumps in the truck, picks up said pistol, holds it on this guy, goes to a hotel, bangs his brains out, and then leaves her husband. He leaves his wife, and then they become a happy couple. You can't tell me that isn't the beginning of a fucking I'm going to kill my husband plot if I've ever heard one.
Especially once she found out how rich the guy was.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, he was supposedly super rich.
So,
here's
the one thing. What do you think it was weird that they never actually talked about how he got rich?
Yes, they did. He was a real estate developer. He bought properties and used his money and bought more properties. And because that was one of the big fights between the deceased's first wife and kids and her, was she had gotten all of her names on all of the properties. That's where his money was at. So.
But they also reference how he liked to buy things in Venezuela and bring them back here and sell them.
It was Costa Rica, wasn't it?
Costa Rica.
Yeah. Okay,
well, I mean, I guess as our resident geography expert, you probably wouldn't have gotten that one right.
Oh, they're the same thing, I think.
Oh, that, yeah.
It made me wonder if he actually had some drug ties himself.
Oh, probably.
That was one of the best memes that I saw of the whole thing. The least threatening guy in this whole show is the guy that did prison time for being a drug kingpin. Oh. But I was under the impression that what he was buying in Costa Rica were animals. And he was basically trafficking the exotic animals back because he could get them for so much cheaper there. That was the impression that I got.
Probably stuffed with cocaine like that guy did those snakes.
Right? And you guys see what his last name was? McCarthy? Yeah. And the guy with no legs, his last name, Rinky, that's my sister-in-law's new last name. That's my brother-in-law's last name. They started watching it last night. Alex messaged me. He goes, seriously? One of the weirdest dudes so far has got to be named Rinky? And then he messaged me a little bit later. Holy shit, there's a McCarthy too. I'm like, yeah, I get it, man.
I got to disagree with Steve. I don't think Carolyn's the smartest. I think it's Dr. Antel.
And purely because he has wives?
A harem?
I'm going to refer to him as doctor because apparently he's the doctor of the mystic sciences.
Mystical sciences, yep. Bhagavan. And what's great is Bhagavan, like, that's not his real name. That's what he changed it to. A friend of God or Lord.
Yes, yes. But here's the reason why I think he's the smartest. And no, Steven, it's not because he has a harem, although I was uber jealous of that because there was a lot of attractive women working at his place. It was that whole little thing he did about taking the kittens to the Senate or wherever, you know, the government.
Oh, yeah.
You know, So he took him there, and then, you know, with his hot wife. So then, like, all these, you know, politicians get pictures with these cats and hot chicks and all this. And then it's like, oh, well, shit, now I can't vote against that because I did it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's smart. That's a smart dude.
Yeah, he's got a PhD. What do you expect?
What was the girl's name that got out? What was her name that interviewed her in the chair?
I don't remember what they named.
Whatever her name was.
Yeah.
But fuck me up. Was this bitch saying that she don't remember agreeing, but she got a boob job just so she could get time off from work? I'm like, the fuck are they doing over there?
Barbara Fisher was her name.
And they
were 8 a.m. to midnight every day. And they got $100 a week.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
And a boob job.
I can tell you, I hope to God that there is a Dr. Andel story.
How could they do a season two? I want Joe Exotic out of jail. I want that.
Steve, I'm going to interrupt you right there because I want to know, and I was going to ask this at the end, but since you brought it up, Stephen Bisciotti, is Joe Exotic guilty, and does he deserve to be in prison?
I don't know, but I think my gut tells me that he was set up by the guy that wore the affliction shirts and the Oakley hat.
Jeff Lowe.
I think he was set up by Jeff Lowe. I think that.
Have you ever met a person that wears an affliction T-shirt that isn't the biggest douchebag in the world?
No, he is.
That's name brand douchewear.
No, he's. But they're all douches. I mean, the toothless husband of Joe has had a tap out tattoo on his arm. I know that.
Classy.
Yeah, they're just
John Finlay.
Yeah.
No, and honestly, the girl that he left her, that he left Joe for, that worked there.
Yeah.
I probably would have kept fucking Joe.
The biggest question I have about the show is that isn't Joe singing those songs, right?
It is.
It's not.
It's not.
Did you find out for sure?
Heidi looked it up. There's two musicians that they did that all that music for him, and they did not know that he was going to release them as him singing them.
Oh.
Get up.
He's a white trash Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. When I was watching the show, I kept saying, that voice is too deep. He can't do that with that nasally-ass Travis Bolt voice. You know, I mean, there's no way he could do that. And then, I'm so glad that you found that out.
I hate to admit this.
You love it, don't you?
I think I might be gay because I love country now. I could listen to I Saw a Tiger. I could listen to that every day.
Do you have the? Did you download it or something?
No, I just on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
It is? Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Because so part of, like we just kind of all said there, you know, is real. Like part of my research is like, because I in my mind I'm like, holy shit, they could be swerving all of us, and this whole documentary could be fake. So I went to YouTube, and I'm like, I gotta go back and look at the oldest post of Joe Exotic, and there literally is posts from like 4 years ago of our boy Joe Exotic.
That tiger just needs a little bit of love, man.
Tell me that is
so
not
good. It's so good.
Look at Travis, he's so happy.
I saw a tiger. So good. Tiger Saw a Man. Will you tell Heidi that? Listen to it.
Tiger Saw Man.
Tiger Saw a Man.
No. Tiger Saw a Man.
What's the debate here? I don't understand.
Aren't you guys saying the same thing?
Dude, read the look at the subtitles.
Tiger Saw a Man.
What's this?
No. The argument is that it says, Pete says that it says Tiger Saw a Man, which makes sense. That's what it should say. But the actual lyrics are Tiger Saw Man. I saw Tiger. Tiger Saw Man.
The lyrics are pretty simple. I saw a tiger and Tiger saw a man. Google.
Saw a man.
Saw a man.
No, saw a man.
We're talking about the presence or absence of a.
Yes.
Yep.
Does that even change anything?
It makes Heidi wrong and me right.
Just the beat has to be right about the dumbest thing ever. Now, granted, that song is enjoyable. We can't see whatever you're showing us.
It says it's lyrics. I saw a tiger. Tiger saw a man.
I don't care what that says. If you go actually look at the song.
If you go look at the song. So I'm looking at the song, and that's the lyrics. Whatever.
Is it too early for a drink? Because you guys are making me drink right now.
Get drinking. Get some meth, too.
Yeah. Get some meth, because if you get meth, you can get straight guys to fuck you.
Or you can get straight guys to let you fuck them. They never specify.
You know what?
This is true.
Do you think they actually had sex?
What?
Do you think they actually had sex?
Well, the man said at the boy's funeral that he used to rub his balls across his face.
Well, I mean, dudes don't do that to each other anyway.
Note to self, when we watched the funeral scene, I told Courtney, don't ever let Travis speak at my funeral. Because I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen is something like that.
I'll never forget the one time we're standing in my living room and Steven is on his phone and I grabbed a hold of those neoprene shorts and I slid them down and we all got a chance to see his glorious balls hanging right there in the living room.
Who the fuck at the guy's funeral
in front of his mom?
His balls
in front of his mom.
Mom's in the room. Crying mom.
This show has got too much to talk about. Because why did his mom agree to be in the picture when he married the new replacement guy?
She didn't. No, she was just going. She was invited to the wedding. So she thought it was going to be a wedding. Got there and it was only those four. And she's like, holy shit.
But there
it's
she
just
is.
The four of us.
We know why. Because she was going to get math too.
I'm going to say this.
And she wanted to pet a kitty.
Yeah. First of all, the real G of the whole show was that bitch that got her arm ripped off, went back to work like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
7 days.
7 days. Okay.
Seven days.
The other part was when Travis killed himself, they showed the video and the guy just sitting there holding his face like the kid on Home Alone. And the best line of the movie was, it is not like you would think, like it is in the movies. I was like, well, God damn it.
And you see him when he finally pulls his hand away, he like yells the guy, he yells something like the guy's name or something.
Yeah.
Like tries to get his attention, like to see if he'll move because he's that. So let's talk about that guy. He asked me to be his campaign manager. Of course I signed. I was managing a Walmart at the time. What? Because I'm telling you right now, he made more money managing a Walmart than he did running Joe Exotic's fucking campaign.
He got 19% of the goddamn vote. That's better than I did running for council here in Whitehall.
That's true.
I love it when he says that he was running as a libertarian and he didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
And all of his platform was just how I felt about government. He didn't care about any of that.
No. So
I'm not going to wear a suit.
Here, here's another question that I don't understand. I think I might understand, but when Travis killed himself, that was an accident, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think yes.
He had talked about because leading up to that, they were talking about how he was always pointing his gun. And somebody said something to him. He goes, dude, it's a Ruger. There's no clip in it. Everybody knows that a Ruger won't fire without the clip in, even if there's one in the chamber. And he would bop, 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 doodly doo, and bam, Brandon Lee, here we go.
Death. Yeah, because he said he had been pointing that gun at his head like a few times, and then when he sat in the chair and would point it at his own head, like playing around.
Okay.
Why would he kill himself? Shit, he was living a life.
He was. He was living the life. I mean, who wouldn't want to get, you know, have sex with Joe Exotic and ride around on a four-wheeler and smoke pot and meth all day?
Okay, so I'll do you one better.
Sounds like the American
Dream. All right, I get the toothless tap-out tattoo fag. I get that, all right? So I even get the meth-addled, okay, I sucker this guy with meth. What is freaking freshman at the community college frat boy doing married to him now? Where the hell did that come from?
That's meth.
Meth.
It's either meth or it is actually love.
Man. That kid doesn't look like he does.
When I say love, he's infatuated with Joe Exotic.
But dude, no, okay, Toothless, what's his name?
Toothless. I don't know.
John.
Sure.
He was a good-looking dude when he was young. When they show back to the early pictures of them together and he's still got his original teeth, he's not a bad-looking dude. And neither is Travis. Travis wasn't
when he first came on.
No. Travis
looked like a druggy loser the whole time.
No, when they show that first picture of him, and he's wearing like the uniform shirt with the collar
on. Yeah.
And he's a good-looking kid.
Right, but he looked like a stoner to me.
Well,
did you get that vibe?
Yeah.
Hard not to after, you know... After that,
so let me ask you guys this question. Steve, you weren't going. You didn't have a question, did you?
No, I'm good.
Okay, this is what I actually the big question I had, because they didn't bring up the meth till late in. We all knew that there were drugs, but they didn't bring up the meth until late in the series, like maybe like episode 5 or something. I thought.
Right.
I really believe it is the. The tigers, it's the chance to walk and pet and be around these animals that really made these people crazy. And I shouldn't say that because they're already crazy. But that I feel like is what, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure Dr. Andel had his fair share of pot at his place for these women. But those women weren't getting strung out on meth and stuff to be in that polyamorous relationship. I think that they really, those big cats make people crazy.
I'd go along with that.
So have you looked into what one cost yet, Trav? Or...
I'm telling you right now, the price that they were talking about for tiger cubs, I thought was crazy.
Cheap.
So, yeah, this one here, you know, $3,000 for this one. I'm like, I paid half that for a pig.
Yeah. Yeah.
The French bulldogs Amanda and I have been looking at because I really want one. I'm not going to get one because they're $3,500 for a French bulldog. This is a fucking tiger, man.
Absolutely.
But I think you're getting what you pay for it. I don't think those tigers were in very good health. I don't give a fuck what nobody said. I don't think they're in good health. So I think you can buy a low grade, I'm sick tiger. For $3,000.
Amanda was like, how many tigers? I said, at one point he said I had 227 tigers. Yep. And Amanda's like, how is that? I said, well, he breeds them. She's like, well, then they're all incest. And I'm like, well, no. And I'm like, well, yeah, I bet there was a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way there couldn't have been, you know? Like, I want a freaking extra chromosome tiger, you know?
You got a Down syndrome tiger?
You got a Steve Tiger.
Yeah,
you know, so the Steve. So what is
Did weird, you see that he named one of his tigers Travis after Travis killed himself?
Yeah.
That was weird.
So okay, just real quick to jump on the Travis thing. At the end of the song that he wrote for Travis after he died, at the end of it, he's got this little quote. And literally the quote is, "Travis, I will never forget that I was your husband." Yeah. Okay, that's how you're going to remember this guy is, "I'm never going to forget I was that
no,
guy's husband."
No, he's going to remember it because he made a big pile of trash memorial with like a four-wheeler and a go-kart and a skateboard.
That was donated to him. He didn't make that.
He loved it, though.
The time was donated.
Every morning I get up in the morning, I come out here and I smoke a cigarette and I talk with Travis.
And take pictures of the clouds.
Yep.
See, that was said high. And then when he said the clouds said high.
There, every episode, there was something in it at least once, maybe 10 times, where you actually sat there with your eyes open going, "What the fuck?"
You know, my mouth was so dry watching that show because I was sitting there with my mouth hanging open the entire time going, "These are real fucking people. These are real goddamn people."
How many times in 7 episodes, 40 minutes per, so about 5.5 hours, how many times did Vernetta go, "Fucking white people"? Because if you think about it, that I don't ever like to be racial, but that shit like that, only white people do dumb shit like that.
Nope. There was a black guy in Harlem that had his tiger in his apartment.
I do remember that story.
Yeah,
I do remember that story.
He had a tiger in his apartment.
Didn't it kill him?
Nope, it bit him, but it didn't kill him.
Okay.
He ended up going to jail, and when he got out, he went back and got his tiger, and they moved out to Arizona somewhere because you can have them like in that. Not Arizona, Nevada. There's some places out in the desert where you can have tigers because it's just you out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That just makes me think of
a backyard. Because these motherfuckers walk around with them tigers and shit like dogs. Just like everybody walk around their backyard that's got a kennel. And they got dogs and fucking cloud leopards and ligers and
orangutans
and diapers. What the fuck was going on over there? It wasn't an orangutan, but
if you're walking a 600-pound tiger on a leash, if that tiger decides it doesn't want to be on the leash anymore, that tiger's not on the leash anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's nothing any human is going to do to stop that tiger from doing exactly what it wants to do. And I keep getting reminded of that that line from Ricky Bobby. You know, if you get in there scared, that mountain lion is going to do exactly what God intended it to do, and that's eat you with a smile on its face. And I'm telling you, man, that I could not believe the amount of the I can't get over the fact that they're like in the cages, but like at one point he's in that one big kennel. There's 12 full-grown tigers in that kennel. 12. Like, I cannot believe that he didn't just get shredded to pieces, man. But I guess if you're having sex with them things, I guess he probably have some sort of a bond or kindred spirit or something. I don't know.
Here's a question I have for everybody. Did he, at least in the beginning, did he really love tigers?
Absolutely.
I think they all did.
You don't think it wasn't about exploiting them for money right from the start?
No. He just got in way over his head, I think. It started truly for the love of the, and even his backstory, how he got into tigers and stuff, I totally get how that would be meaningful to him. But, and they talk about it in one of the last episodes, how him being on stage and him being in front of the camera, that persona took over. And at that point, he had to keep living that life. He had to keep maintaining that. And that's when all of the care for the animals really went the other way.
Because I felt like, at least in the beginning, the first few episodes, the first maybe 3 episodes, I thought his zoo actually looked well-maintained, and it was actually like a decently running thing. Now, obviously, there were, you know, big piles of trash for a one-armed transgender person to do interviews. But, you know,
that was her front porch. Don't judge.
So, I don't know. And here's the other question. Who doesn't think that Exotic or Joe Exotic burned down the studio and the, what was it, the alligator?
Yeah, the crocodile enclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. Who does anyone think he didn't do that?
He is ultimately responsible for it. Whether or not he's the one, I think he had enough people in his group that he didn't actually have to be the one to set the fire.
Well, he was out of town.
But it was his order
too. So
yeah, it was his order.
It wasn't physically him, but yeah.
Right.
He without a doubt burnt that down. And what I don't understand is where did the video come from of talking to his lawyer and his lawyer telling him to burn it down? Where did that even come from? Because Joe knew that video existed. Why would he allow that video to even exist? That dude was crazy.
That, and they said they burned up a bunch of that document, the guy who did the documentary, like yeah. a lot of his footage and computers. Where'd all this other, what else was on fucking video?
I know. I almost, we thought the same thing, me and Courtney. We're like, if everything was lost, then where does all the video to make this show come from?
But it wasn't. You remember near the end, Frat Boy opens up that storage unit and it's full of computer towers. I don't think they were actually in there when it burned down, or it wasn't the actual ones that were in there.
And even a little bit more simple, if you go and look on YouTube, there is a lot of that old footage that we see throughout it that is actually on YouTube now.
Right. Basically what we saw up until the very end, that was all 3 to 4 year old footage, almost all of it. Because it would say, it'd say 5 years earlier, it would flash from him being on the phone from prison, and it would say 5 years earlier. And that's, so the majority of this all took place 4 to 5 years ago.
But they had footage right up to when Jeff had basically stolen the zoo from him.
Right, but that was all post alligator enclosure fire. That all occurred after that fire, because they had footage of him inside the burned out building and the rebuild process. And so that was all footage that came after that fire happened.
Now, those are the interesting questions, though, that we'll never have the answers to. Right. Is like, you know, that, where did some of that footage come from and all that stuff, and how much was real and what was staged?
All right, until Frat Boy realizes that he doesn't have any money anymore because his husband, who's 40 years older than him, who's still in prison and had a disgusting mullet and probably a beat up butthole, he goes, "Hey, guess what? I can make some money." And he leaks all that footage. And then, I mean, he was already doing all right. When he was on the phone with Joe Exotic in a car, that was an SS Camaro.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And that was an $80,000 car that he was in, you know? So. At some point, that money's going to run out, and Joe's not going to get out, and he's going to go, "I need money," and we're going to see everything that was in that closet.
How about Rinky? I actually really liked Rinky. You know,
so do me I.
Too. With the prosthetics.
Yep. Him and the girl were the only two that I didn't think were somehow assholes in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, man. Rinky, after Joe went to jail, Rinky was driving around in some nice vehicles.
Well, I think that's what he kind of did for a living now. Wasn't he involved in cars and something?
He's working. He's working on cars now. That's his new job.
But he seemed like he was okay for himself.
Yeah. Okay. He had to have been involved in that world somehow right from the start, because both of those legs, his prosthetic legs, they were both airbrushed by a guy who was very talented in the world of, you know, either custom car painting or tattooing, you know.
Yeah.
So I got a question. Was anybody surprised at how nonchalantly that drug dealer talked about killing that agent?
He didn't kill him.
He set him on fire.
It was super nonchalant. Like it was no big deal. Like it was telling somebody how to make a peanut butter sandwich.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Unless that's already been investigated and everything.
Well, it was after he got out of prison already.
Yeah,
so he
that's
did
all.
He can talk about it.
He still could get charged for that if that wasn't what he was.
Double jeopardy.
For.
He's already done his time. He's fine.
The impression that I got was he came clean about that, and that's probably why his sentence was light for the drug stuff, and that's why he could talk about it. Or he's just like, yeah, go ahead, ATF, DEA, show up to my door. I'll feed you to this fucking puma. So
yeah, Steve, to go back to what your question, I don't think the murder for hire thing Joe is actually guilty of. He probably shouldn't have been found guilty of that. But the fact that for 5 years he talked about killing this woman.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt that a jury would find him guilty.
You're dumb.
The other animal stuff he deserved to go to jail for.
But I will say, okay, he euthanized 5 tigers. If they were old and sick and he put them down, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I'm not
horses and dogs.
I'm talking right. about the selling of the cubs.
Oh, okay, I see that. But but counts 3 through 7 on his indictment were all, you know, killing these tigers. And I'm like, people put horses down all the time and nobody says a goddamn thing other than, holy shit, this is going to have to be a big hole. You know what I mean? Now Bagavan, that guy's gassing cups. Can we all, at least all agree with that? Once they get to about 6 months old and they're not utilized anymore, he just puts them in a gas chamber and then he burns them.
I don't know if I will jump on board with that yet because Joe says something, he's at that point where I feel like he's just trying to bury everybody.
Oh, you know what? You're right, though.
She didn't know what was going on with them.
There's no way a guy who's so classy that takes in 60-year-old runaways, makes them work slave labor, fucks them, forces them to get enhancement surgery. You're right. He'd never do that to a tiger cub, Trav. Good point.
The girl actually said she didn't know where those tigers went once they got a certain age, like they just disappeared. And don't you think it's odd that they did a better search of Joe Exotic's place when he went to jail than what they did at Carol's place when her husband came up missing?
Very true.
That is a perfect example of those feds wanted Joe Exotic so bad.
That's also a great example of it's a Travis-like cop that showed up to her house. Ma'am, do you have any idea where your husband is? I don't. He's not here? Nope. Ma'am, I appreciate your time. Sorry for your loss. And he gets in his cruiser and rides off into the sunset.
I got lunch in 15 minutes, so have a good day.
So I said to my boss, I said, hey, if we had a missing person case and there's a lot of money involved and some weird circumstances and we found the car that he supposedly drove to the airport, and I just told the family, you know what? You come get the car, drive it back to your house, and in 4 days I'll come out and process the scene. How would you handle that? And he goes, you're fired.
Yeah, he'd take your badge.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
So, like, I just look at that and go, that's just some horrible, horrible police work. And
but if you wonder how
dirty everybody was.
Right, and if you really think about that too, you gotta think. All right, so roll it. Now, obviously, a lot of most people don't realize that a lot of small time departments, they're not equipped to handle anything like that. They're really not. A lot of you guys actually have as small as Whitehall is, you guys actually have investigative opportunities. I mean, you guys actually have more knowledge than your regular small town department. You look at some of these places, that's so outside of their wheelhouse. And realistically too, if you're sitting there going, we've lived in this town forever. We know this guy. We all know that he was a notorious cheater. We all know that he had the means to go wherever he want. He can fly his own plane. He has multiple planes. He likes to be in Costa Rica. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could go, hey, guess what? You're a crazy bitch, and no wonder he fucking left you. I'm not surprised he's gone. He had the level of income to make himself disappear. On the onset of it, I would look at it just as a guy who knows cops and knows a little bit about the investigative process. I can go, yeah, dude bolted. He's got sweet pieces of ass down in Costa Rica.
But their police chief actually said that there is no way he could fly one of those planes straight to Costa Rica. He would have to stop places, and there was no place for him to stop and fuel.
Okay, and I do remember that. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
But how do they know he did that? How do you know he didn't jump in that plane, go somewhere else, land that plane, and then from there go to Costa Rica.
Right.
Let's just say it's more fun to think that she killed him anyway.
I think she did.
I think she did. She did. I 100%. I mean, if it comes down to it, she killed him. Or something happened and she didn't report it. Maybe it was something as simple as he had a heart attack. Maybe it was something as simple as maybe he did get attacked by a tiger and she just went, I can't help him, and closed the gate. And yeah, he left.
Yeah.
You know, drove his van to the airport and then she rode her bicycle back on the bike trail. You know, hello, all you cats and kittens.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, wait. She was out at, what, 3 o'clock in the morning when he, like, right before he disappeared, out at 3 o'clock in the morning to get something for the cats or something. Yeah. Then just so happened her brother and another police officer saw her. Her car broke down. They had to give her a ride back, which was so fucking convenient. And then her husband said he had to get up early in the morning to leave. And then he left and she didn't see him anymore.
And you're exactly right. 3 earlies, Renetta. You hit that on the head. Early, and they made sure. And every time she told that story, it was spot on because it was fucking rehearsed as all get out.
Yep.
Yeah. What is I got a question for you guys. What is one of the weirdest things on the show that happened that they kind of just, you know, you saw it quick and you were like, what the? And then they never revisited it. What would be one thing that you're like, I wish we got a little bit more information on this?
I'd like to see a better picture of Joe Exotic's plethora of appropriate for the moment coats. Because when you brought that up to me, Travis, I was like, what is he talking about? And then, hey, somebody got their arm torn off. Throw my EMT coat on and I'm out the door. Like, he somehow like manifested the powers and knowledge of whatever coat he was wearing, you know? And how many times was he wearing a coat or a shirt with like a badge on it? I'm like, what? You own tigers. What do you have a badge for?
the sixth, where they actually go like into his trailer, you know, that was just disgusting. But, and he goes to grab a coat, and I swear to God, there was 15 coats that all looked the same with the fringe. Like, oh, tassels or whatever.
So gross. Yeah, when he was going on a date.
All right in a row.
I think I would have liked to have seen more product. When he first brings you into the gift shop, and it's all the stuff. This is my CD. This song, this CD, this is my first album. It's got 29 tracks. 29 songs? Are you kidding me? Nobody does that. That's 3 albums. This is my underwear line, man. I don't wear underwear, but people love them. No, they don't. That's creepy and shitty and weird. Oh.
Steve, do I have to narrow it down to one thing? Because I have a lot of questions. No. One, if you were a person that patronized that place when you saw and then they talked about opening up that pizza shop and I'm saying they were using old Walmart meat on the pizzas, how do you feel about that?
Oh, my God.
Another one is, as running for mayor, what makes you think to pass out condoms with your face on there?
Governor.
Governor, what makes you think to pass out condoms? Another odd question was, once again, I don't know who picks out the scenery for this or who picks up, but why did they just show that man randomly on that ski-doo?
Yes. There's so many random things like that I don't get. The life-size Chucky doll.
You know what's sad? That guy, of all of the haircuts in the show, Joe Exotic included, his was the worst. He had the worst haircut. Amanda saw that and she goes, oh my God.
It was definitely horrible.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, all of those are good. Steven, do you have one that you'd like to get a little bit more information on?
There's so many, you know, of course we've talked about it before, but the doing an interview while someone's getting into a bathtub. And I just really don't understand the whole I'm straight, but I'm going to marry two dudes. Two guys did that, supposedly.
Yeah.
Well, in John Finlay's defense, he was straight, only married one dude. And the other dude brought the other dude in. So it was really the second dude that was marrying two dudes. But I see what you're saying.
I just don't know how that works. I don't understand it.
Well, it works. It's called anal. That's how it works. But, yeah.
I don't understand weird. How you sign up for that.
But I don't think there's actually a list. Like, I don't think you have to write Stephen Bisciotti on it. I think you just kind of do it.
Yeah, I don't get it. If you're gay, I could see you're if gay, you were... but if you're straight, I mean, they didn't even go as far as to say, yeah, these guys are bi. They said these guys are straight. What? No, they can't. They can't be, can they?
They're straight now. Well, one of them is straight up dead, but
one of them is straight up dead. But wow.
I can tell you, probably for me, it was when they went into Joe's trailer. On the wall, there was like a little card that says, you know, Travis and Joe. And then right below it, there was two nails. And hanging from those nails was two little locks. And Joe said, yeah, I put those locks in my Prince Albert.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they just moved right along.
No, they asked him how long he'd had it, and he told him and stuff as he's putting up his hands in the underwear. Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, you just hang those locks back up on the nails and you're on your wall.
Makes sense.
That's how you do it.
I would say it don't seem sanitary, but I don't. There was nothing sanitary about that.
True. This really isn't one to revisit, but this begs the question of, hey, Howard, I got this friend I'd like you to meet. Her name's Carol. She's a widow. She has tigers, and everybody's pretty sure she killed her husband. You want to maybe take her out on a date? Like,
how about their wedding photos where Howard is dressed
like
a caveman on a leash?
Oh,
man.
Awesome.
Fucking weird.
I'm pretty sure he could have been over there with Joe Exotic, because I'm pretty sure he was taking it up the ass too from Carol.
Yeah.
Hey, Carol was actually pretty darn hot when she was younger.
Oh yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, but jeez, oh frights.
No. You know who one of my favorite characters was? Eric Cowie. The long blonde hair. Yeah. Well, did you see him at the end after he testified against Joe? And he's in the hotel room. Oh, dude, he's freaking obliterated. You know what I mean? I look those cats in the eye. And he's just...
He's locking eyes with the stuffed animal.
Yeah. And then he just lays back and you're like, oh my God, I think he passed out.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. So I think my true favorite was Rick Kirkham, the producer.
Rick was good.
Yeah, I just loved him.
Rick was good.
And he got so screwed, because if that would have been a real reality show, I think it would have been the best, most crazed reality show. Everybody would have been watching it. It would have been he would have been a gazillionaire.
He would have been.
Wait, who's making money off of this? Who's put this out? Did he put this out?
No.
The narrator.
We did see the narrator, yep.
Eric Good is his name. Yeah, and more than one occasion, he was using like a shirt button camera and stuff. Like, he did some secret shit.
He did do some secret shit. I actually think he might be the one that recorded the conversation with the fucking lawyer.
Right. That's what I thought too.
It's hard telling, because they said that Joe always had a camera on him running.
Right.
Always. So, I mean, shit, it could have been his you know, boyfriend or whatever.
So, who is the biggest slime ball?
Jeff Lowe. I mean, when it comes down to the brass tacks of it, I think Bhagavan is slimy. Don't get me wrong, and I think he's a cult leader, but people are okay with it. They're choosing to be there. Jeff Lowe did some crooked shit, and I think Jeff Lowe is behind a lot of this. And I think he's probably the most crooked person in the show. I think he did the most bad shit intentionally. I think Joe Exotic did some bad shit. I think he did some things out of desperation. I think he did some things. But I think Jeff is the most calculated person in the show.
I can see that. When he was talking to his, what is that, his girl, one of his girlfriends that was pregnant?
Yeah, she's so hot.
And talked about how she had to lose weight after she had the baby, and he got to pick out the nanny and stuff. I was like, what a piece of shit. And she was cool.
Yeah, she was cool with it, you know. But yeah, I just, the way, the stuff that they didn't touch on in Vegas, you know, some of that stuff, like, I think he was probably the biggest criminal of all of them.
Chad, do you agree?
I'm going to say that I think Jeff Lowe definitely was a dirtbag and a shyster and everything. I still am going to say Exotic was the biggest dirtbag on the show. The things that there had, like, where is he getting the meth? You know, so were they making it on site, luring these, you know, young men in and getting them hooked on meth? And I'm not saying, I mean, they're victims. They made their choices on their own. But I think Joe Exotic, they never did a good job of showing you how small these cages were that the tigers were in. And I really think Joe had like freaking 8 to 10 tigers in a pen that is smaller than my house.
Right.
And I think that is monstrous.
Right.
Vernetta?
I'm on a toss-up. I think Carol.
Carol?
I think she was the slimiest person on there. You could just look in her fucking eyes. She gave zero fucks about people.
True.
Those people been working there for like 5 years, saying they're working like 12-hour days and whatever. They don't get paid any money. I'm pretty sure she killed her husband. I think she was shiesty from the beginning. Even her husband had passed. His family was like, they was like, you scared of her? They was like, yeah, we're afraid of her.
Yeah.
She broke into his job, when not really broke into his job, when the safe took all the stuff after he died, changed everything over, screwed everybody. I think she was pretty. My other thing was, what did she even have to do with Joe? They were in a whole nother state and everything. Leave him the fuck alone. Mind your own fucking business.
That's how she maintained her her image as someone who cares about these animals, to keep.
The Mother Teresa is what they called her.
Yeah, yes. she was fighting the good fight, and Joe Exotic was a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was climbing in all of them.
She dirty as dirt too, that's for sure.
Because they proved that she was buying animals.
Yeah.
You know, she was part of the problem. You don't say you're against it and then. Just like how she would say, if petting a tiger is wrong because that encourages people to pay money to pet a tiger, then you don't buy a tiger either. Because if there isn't a market to sell tigers, you don't have a breeding problem. She's a piece of shit.
But that was her whole thing, is that was why she tried to run her park the way she did. She bought those tigers to save them.
Yeah.
To give them a sanctuary. Yeah.
Clever word.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You still bought the tiger. I agree with you, Steve. You still bought the tiger.
She's
that the fact you're profiting off of them. I understand you have to feed them or whatever, but why charge people to come in there? It's no different from people going to Joe's, except for she wasn't feeding them pizza with old Walmart meat on there.
those scenes were crazy. Like, man, hey, these are still frozen. I'm gonna take them home. I'm like, what? And I let them pick them over first and take what they want back to their place. And I'm like, that. And at one point, like, man, he goes, we only got 4 buckets of food for all these tigers. And he goes, you know, the Walmart trucks have been really light lately. And I'm like, Jesus. I just, man. But I could definitely see why it would only cost $3,000 at Joe Exotics, but why it'd cost $10,000 at Bagavon's. You know what I mean? Or Bagavon or what? I can never say that right. But
I think the other two guys actually kept better care of their animals. I think they had a little bit more freedom at their places, other than when they wanted to look for the pictures. That drug dealer and that other guy.
The drug dealer probably took the best care of his animals because he wasn't charging anybody. He did that just because he did truly love the animals. He didn't care much for that one DEA snitch guy, but he loved them animals, you know. He was the only one not profiting off of them. And realistically, you're caging a wild animal for profit. That's, you can slice it any way you want it. A duck is a duck is a duck, you know. And they were all doing that. They just all had different reasons as to why they were doing it. Or their motives, they claim to be different. The fact of the matter is, you are exploiting wild animals. Cut and dried to the point. That's it. So
I got the outline for season 2.
Okay.
You remember at the end of this, because of Joe, they raided Dr. Antel's place.
Yep.
So now the next one is Dr. Antel's, his court trial. Okay. And so you get to interview
all the just Sodom and Gomorrah of what he lives with.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I just want to see all of the sex and all of the nudity. And I want all, because he has private tapes of all that. I want to see the whole Bagavon private collection.
Exactly.
That's a nice
house. Yeah. So interview all the spouses, all that. And to spice it up, we take Chucky. And now you're going to be an inside informant, and you're going to go to the convicted drug dealer. You're going to go become his friend. And
I don't think that's wise.
Yeah, I don't think that's wise. Don't that sound fun?
It does, but unfortunately, he went on camera and laughed about being a rat for everybody else.
Yeah.
No, so the guy that was going to go kill Carol. They end up at the strip club.
Oh, jeez.
Like, you know what? I'm not even going to go kill this bitch. I'm going to go look at some titties. I don't understand how the truth. I mean, I don't get it.
And then just tell people, hey, I chickened out.
Yep. Yeah. he talks so bad about Joe the whole time. Just
I know.
And he gets in no trouble whatsoever.
None. I got a feeling, though, that this is going to open up some serious... This is going to open up some serious Pandora's boxes, this documentary.
Hey, real quick, I just want to show you guys this, too. You guys know her. You love her.
Okay.
No, we don't.
I don't.
So this cat...
I want to give that cat to Doc Antle because he says, as you know, he says, you can't keep them all.
I've had this cat probably since she was 6 months old. And she loves me more than she loves anything else, any other living thing in the world. This cat has hurt me so bad when she's playing that I can't imagine what it would be like to have a 300-pound version of her. These people are fucking crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Now, the scene when I think Jeff is in the cage and that cat gets kind of pissed off.
Yeah, Lauren, get out! Lauren, get out!
Yeah. That was hairy. I'm like, I wouldn't go in a cage ever. I don't think I'd go in a cage in the first place. But, you know, I mean, and also when nobody wants to help Joe.
when he got drugged.
He was getting drugged. He shot his gun. To the side.
Oh, these aren't for the cats. This is for people. Yeah. It's not for the cats.
Shoot you before I shoot my cat.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah. That was just top to bottom was just nuts.
Wow, it was. It was amazing.
How long did it take you guys to all watch it?
5 hours.
I watched two episodes. I watched one and two. Then I watched 3, 4, and 5. Then I watched 6 and 7. So like 3 days.
Yeah.
But only because Amanda didn't watch it with me. She wasn't interested. So I was watching stuff with her, and then I had to grab spare time, you know.
Yeah. I watched 2 one evening, and then I think we watched the whole rest of them the next day.
Wow. Yeah, I was on Pete's schedule. Took us 3 days. What did Courtney think, Steve?
Courtney thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
She watched it with me, and she seemed to be entertained with it, but you know, just like anybody else, just like anybody that's got any amount of sanity probably thinks that this is just like the one guy said, a train wreck you can't look away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about the people that are saying, I watched the first episode, I don't think it was interesting?
Well, it's like my sister. Like, my sister loves batshit crazy stuff. So I text her and I'm like, you got to watch this. You got to, you know, check it out. And she calls me back and she's like, I don't know really, what is it? I don't get it. And I'm like, it's just trash. Yeah. And she's like, well, why do I don't, she just was like confused by it. And I'm like, really? You're confused? Cause you know, I thought she would eat it right up, but I don't know if she's been back to it since.
I'm going to have to go back to something Pete said earlier. As I'm watching it, I was thinking, if I see one motherfucking black person on here, I swear to fucking God. Thank God I did not.
Crazy.
Travis, what was it like for you to sit there and see your people?
Because if they had said Hesperia, I would not have been shocked one fucking bit. I was like, eh, that sounds like Hesperia.
It really was my people.
I mean, if you were to say to me, hey, one of your friends was getting an interview and you just decided to get into the bathtub, I'd say it's Travis. Wouldn't we all say that's Travis?
Yeah.
And if they said, hey, we're interviewing one of your friends, he just took his shirt off and had to have his shirt off, well, that's Travis. We'd all say that was Travis. You know, I mean,
I'm gonna be honest. I would think was Pete. They'd be like, "Oh, this guy randomly got on a CD." I'm like, "Oh, fucking Pete."
I can see that. Hey man, what's up with your friend Travis? Like, I thought he was straight, but he's like married to a dude. Yeah, I can see that. He was born, you know.
He was born.
They got along well, and you know. So,
well, I can tell you. I've learned a lot from Exotic Joe Exotic. I thought
But had a trap young man.
I thought the toy world was going to be how I was going to be able to lure these people in. It's worked. I've gained a lot of friends, but not quite the kind of friends that I wanted. I'm looking for more of these, you know, Joe Exotic relationships. So now I figured out I got to get a big cat.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have a big cat and it's doing absolutely fucking nothing for me.
It's doing plenty for me right now. You want to see it?
All right, guys. I think that's a wrap. You guys got anything else you want to say before we shut this thing down?
No, it's perfect.
I want to say thanks to Vernetta for joining us. Thanks to Pete.
You may have saw a tiger, but this tiger saw a man. So,
Travis, thanks for I don't know whatever it is you do, and
thanks for admitting that these were your people, because we were all thinking of. So.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. We're gonna wrap it up, and yeah. If you haven't seen this and you listen to us, hopefully you'll go see it. And I don't know why you would have listened to this if you haven't seen it. So we'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
See ya.
Bye.